Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, everybody's well. I want to welcome you all to Hebron Presbyterian Church, to those who are here in person and online. And wherever you are coming from and whatever you are bringing with you this morning, from earlier this week, we pray that you will experience the restoring presence of the living Jesus here today. I have a few announcements. Sad news. I want to start off, if you haven't heard, unfortunately, Mary Webb passed away earlier last week. On Tuesday, they are still working on the details of the memorial service, and those will be posted later, but did want to make sure people were aware of that passing. Thank everyone for Wednesday night Thanksgiving service. It was wonderful, had a great turnout, and lots of canned goods and financial gifts that were donated for Goochland Cares. Food bank, we collected over 394 pounds. I didn't check the hallway. We might have made the last 6 pounds up to hit 400. But in over $1,000 in aid for the food bank. And so we're excited for that. And thank you very much for your participation. Next Sunday, November 30th at 5 o'clock, is our annual Christmas tree lighting and hymn sing. Everybody's invited to bring your family and friends and enjoy the evening of music and community singing. And, of course, not complete without the hot chocolate and donuts, which I think is what we all really show up for. But so we hope to see you then next Sunday at 5. In the spirit of continuing holiday celebrations, Saturday, December 20th, so you have a little less than a month notice on this, at 2 p.m., the Hebron Ladies Christmas Baking Exchange, correct? Got it. 2 p.m. at the manse with Addison, so please bring your favorite Christmas baked goods in a container to take others home, so it's going to be a trade-off, so bring yours. Bring others, trade off. So, sounds wonderful. There's going to be a sign-up sheet in Holman Hall. So be aware of that. And I'm sure Addison can answer any questions if you have any. But Saturday, December 20th at 2 p.m. And, of course, after the service, please join us in Holman Hall for fellowship and refreshments. So please let us now prepare our hearts for worship.
Thank you.
Thank you, Marcus. Please rise and join me as we are called to worship. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Made heaven and earth.
In Christ Jesus, we are all children of God through faith.
For all who are baptized into Christ have clothed themselves with Christ.
There is neither Jew nor Gentile, slave nor free, male or female.
For we are all one in Christ Jesus.
Let us worship God.
Same Savior who rules the world, who has gathered us to worship, now greet you with these words. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ in the communion of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. All gracious and mighty God, we do adore and worship you this day. For your mercy and grace, which you have poured out upon us in abundance. For though we were at enmity with you and with one another, you came to us in and as Jesus Christ. On the cross, he overcame the sting of death, broke down the dividing walls of enmity, and created peace. So we worship you, O God. Unite our hearts in praise. Speak to us this day and meet us powerfully in this place. And as we are fed here by your word, send us out into the world to be your people. Through that same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Trusting in the mercy of God in Jesus Christ, let us humbly confess our sins together and then in silence. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves.
We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with all whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name.
Amen. God says to you, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you did not receive mercy, but now you have received mercy. Therefore, as a called and ordained minister of the Church of Jesus Christ and by his authority, I declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Assured of God's forgiveness, let us confess the faith which holds us fast, using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Christian, what do you believe?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Though I don't know if there are any children of the younger age that are here for the children's message, we'll give it all the same. And in the spirit of Thanksgiving, we're going to read this story called Thankful. So listen now. Thankful. The waitress is thankful for comfortable shoes. The local reporter for interesting news. The gardener's thankful for every green sprout. The fireman for putting the fire out. The poet is thankful for words that rhyme. The children for morning story time. The artist is thankful for color and light. The clown for her costume, silly and bright. The doctor is thankful when patients get well. The traveler for a cozy hotel. The dancer is thankful. She loves the beat that stirs her heart and hips and feet. The chef is thankful for plates licked clean. The tailor for her sewing machine. The queen is thankful for afternoon tea. The beekeeper for the honeybee. The mayor is thankful for every vote. The sailor for his sturdy boat. The birder is thankful to list a new bird. The pastor is thankful for God's loving word. The crafter is thankful for glitter and glue. And me, I'm ever so thankful for you. The end. Though it's maybe a little silly and with rhyme, when we come to this season of Thanksgiving, we often get so overwhelmed with the cooking and the traveling and the going and the coming that we actually forget to do the thing that is at the center of this season. And so as you go to be with family or friends or just with those in your own house, I'd remind you to be thankful for even those littlest things that may seem silly, but are ultimately a gift to us from God.
Let's turn to God in prayer. God of mercy, your faithfulness to your covenant frees us to live together in the security of your powerful love. Amid all the changing words of our generation, speak your eternal word, which does not change. Then may we respond to your gracious promises by living in faith and with obedience. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Acts, the 10th chapter. This is the last Sunday in our series called Course Correction. If you remember at the beginning, we made the basic principle that where we may think we are lost in matters of faith or life may be exactly the place where God has placed us. And what we need in our own minds is a course correction. But in the eyes of God, this has been the course that he has laid. And so today we are reading a story which was the ultimate course correction for the early church. The ultimate shift in their thinking from one way, what we may call today the old way, to God's new way, or the kingdom way. And so because this is such a rich story, it's maybe a little bit longer than our average weekly reading, so I would advise you to take in hand your Bible and turn to page 894, as we read Acts chapter 10. Listen now to God's word. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what is known as the Italian regiment. He and his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. One day, at about 3 in the afternoon, he had a vision.
he distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, Cornelius. Cornelius stared at him in fear. What is it, Lord? He asked. The angel answered, Your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now send men to Joppa and bring back a man named Simon, who is called Peter. He is staying with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea. When the angel who spoke to him had gone, Cornelius called two of his servants and a devout soldier who was one of his attendants. He told them everything that had happened and sent them to Joppa. About noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat. And while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet let down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles and birds. Then a voice told him, Get up, Peter, kill and eat. Surely not, Lord, Peter replied. I have never eaten anything impure or unclean. The voice spoke to him a second time, Do not call anything impure that God has made clean. This happened three times, and immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven. While Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision, the men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. They called out, asking if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, Simon, three men are looking for you. So get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them. Peter went down and said to the men, I'm the one you're looking for. Why have you come? The men replied, We have come from Cornelius the centurion. He is a righteous and God-fearing man who is respected by all the Jewish people. A holy angel told him to ask you to come to his house so that he could hear what you have to say. Then Peter invited the men into the house to be his guests. The next day, Peter started out with them, and some believers from Joppa went along. The following day, he arrived in Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. But Peter made him get up. Stand up, he said. I am only a man myself. While talking with him, Peter went inside and found a large gathering of people. He said to them, You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with or visit a Gentile. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. May I ask, why have you sent for me? Cornelius answered, 3 days ago I was in my house praying at this hour, at 3 in the afternoon. Suddenly, a man in shining clothes stood before me and said, Cornelius, God has heard your prayer and remembered your gifts to the poor. Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He is a guest in the house of Simon the tanner, who lives by the sea. So I sent for you immediately, and it was good for you to come. Now we are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he sent him around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross. But God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out, even on the Gentiles. For they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, "Surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have." So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism. My friends, these might be some of the most radical words spoken in human history, and are some of the weightiest human words we find in the scriptures. They are words that we take for granted, a sentiment that we may feel is the norm. Yet it is a sentiment that has never been the norm in human history up to that point. And it is one that we continue to fail to live into even to this day. You see, for most of human history, it was assumed that your group was the favored one. Your particular ethnicity, nation, tribe, culture, it was superior to all the rest. And whichever god or gods you worshipped, they tended to agree with you and blessed your people accordingly. It was always us versus them, a mindset which left few options with how to deal with difference. The pastor and writer Glenn Packiam notes that across time, there are generally only two options for how different peoples interact. Assimilation and segregation. Assimilation is where the smaller or less powerful group gets absorbed into or becomes like the dominant culture. This is the way that is represented in our scripture by Cornelius, the centurion. He was a military man, similar in rank to an army captain today. And he represented by his very office the might and the domination of the Roman Empire. Whoever Rome conquered, they then expected those people and places to conform to their rule and way. By military might, they meant to transform the world into Rome's image. The city of Caesarea in our scripture is a perfect example. It's named after the emperor, the Caesar. And the city was founded to be a little Rome, a miniature Rome, as it were, in Judea, with pagan temples, Roman culture, and the like. Now, on the other hand, those who did not conform to the Roman way were oppressed and, in some cases, threatened with annihilation. As a centurion in Caesarea, Cornelius would have been viewed by the Judeans as the oppressor, the ultimate enemy of the Jewish people, and to Peter especially, one who was like those who hung Jesus on the cross, the one who killed his teacher and Messiah. Cornelius represented in the mind of those early believers everything that was antithetical to their understanding of the kingdom of God, and they would have stayed as far away as humanly possible. Now, this brings us to Pacium's second option, segregation, where the two groups stay in their own corners, avoiding contact. This is the initial position of Peter and the believers from Joppa. You can see this when Peter addresses Cornelius's family and friends. "You are well aware," he says, "that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with or even to visit a Gentile." As Jewish believers in Jesus, they were still rooted in the traditions of their religion, which warned to separate themselves off from the Gentiles, lest they become ritually unclean, impure. Though it is hard to think this way today, back then those believers thought God only cared for their people, and that Jesus came only for the Jews. So in our story, we have two diametrically opposed individuals, Cornelius and Peter, who have no reason in the world to interact with each other, let alone go into each other's homes. But as is the case so often throughout Scripture, it is in this place of greatest difference that God flips the script and shows them a new and better way. Through visions of angels and animals floating down on a sheet, the Holy Spirit was drawing Peter and Cornelius together and revealed to them that truly God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. The scholar F.F. Bruce writes that Peter's words here were words of the weightiest import, sweeping away the racial and religious prejudice of centuries. You see, my friends, in a world that can only offer assimilation or segregation, God breaks in and shows a new way. Reconciliation. Reconciliation. The Jewish believers and these Gentiles had nothing in common. Yet at the proclamation of the gospel, they received the same spirit that the disciples were given at Pentecost. They were baptized into the same name in which the Jewish believers were baptized. Peter and the folks from Joppa once thought that Jesus was the Messiah only for Israel. But God showed them that he was the Savior for the whole world, for every tribe and tongue and nation, all redeemed through the same one who hung on the cross at Calvary. The Apostle Paul would later write to the Ephesians, "For Christ is our peace, In his flesh he has made both Jew and Gentile into one and has broken down the dividing wall, that is, the hostility between us, that he might create in himself one new humanity in place of the two, thus making peace, and might reconcile both to God in one body through the cross. This is the radical reconciliation and welcome of the gospel, not predicated on any national, ethnic, or even moral lines, but out of the overflowing grace of God in Jesus Christ. All the walls of hostility have been broken down in him so that even a Roman Gentile oppressor, a man of violence, could be redeemed. God shows no favoritism, but calls people of every kind to faith in Jesus Christ. And he is building a diverse, multi-ethnic, multicultural, multilingual kingdom, the kingdom of God. As the Spirit fell on the Gentiles that day, Peter and the other believers had to totally shift their understanding, and they even had to let go of their preferences in order to embrace what God was doing right in front of them. This is the challenge for the church today. Too often the church has succumbed to the inclinations of the world, offering either assimilation or segregation instead of the radical welcome and reconciliation of the gospel. If Christ has broken down the dividing walls and is building a diverse kingdom family, how can we afford not to be welcoming? If Christ has made us one new humanity by faith, how can we afford not to be welcoming? What might we need to do? What preferences or norms may we need to put aside? What might we even need to repent of in order to live out God's vision more fully? God calls us, his church, to be agents of reconciliation, not division. Jesus tells us to take the gospel to all, but then to welcome all, even with their difference, into fellowship. So as we look around the sanctuary today, I invite you to imagine who is not here, whom God might be calling to have a seat at the table, whom the Holy Spirit may be gathering in, though we may not anticipate them. How would we welcome them? We may not always be successful. Even Peter later fell out with Paul over this very issue. But as we go forward in faith and with love, seeking to extend gospel welcome, we will begin to embody that kingdom which Jesus is bringing into the world. So let us live as witnesses to Christ's radical reconciling power, with open hearts and open doors to all whom God is calling. Amen. Amen. Let's pray our prayer of discernment together. Lord, show us your will for Hebron and how you are calling me to serve. Amen.
Let us pray. O God, our peace, in Jesus Christ you have torn down the dividing walls of hostility and created for yourself a new kingdom humanity. Help us to be witnesses and agents of your reconciling love and radical welcome with open hearts and open doors to all whom your Spirit calls. Grant us the grace of repentance, turning from the ways of the world that divide and turning to the one who has made us one. And hear now our prayers as we lift before you our cares. Father of mercies, you govern the world in power and love. Let your justice and peace reign in every place and bring an end, we pray, to our warring violence. God, we especially lift up the war in Ukraine. Bring peace, an end to divisions. And as powers come to the table to talk, may they come away with means for bringing an end to violence where all may find peace and wholeness. Turn them away from self-serving agendas and towards the common good. Lord, we pray for this county, Goochland County, in which we live and minister. We pray for all those who work in government, all who help to serve through various offices. Especially we pray for the Board of Supervisors, for the school board, for the county administrator and others. Grant them wisdom and discernment to do what is right for the people in this county. Help us who live in this place seek the good of one another so that we may embody your justice and your truth. Lord, in this season of Thanksgiving, help us especially to remember those who have little and who are in great need. Help us to count our blessings, but may counting our blessings move us to love our neighbor by serving those who may be very different from ourselves. Jesus, Messiah, by your death on the cross, you reconciled us to God and to each other. Empowered by your resurrection power, grant that we may embody your colorful kingdom, proclaiming the gospel to all and welcoming all in true fellowship. Lord, this day we pray for your church in Syria. Strengthen and comfort them as they face persecution. Build up disciples of depth, and by their very witness, may they shine as a light to the world. And as they shine as a light, give them peace, we pray. We lift up all the congregations in this community. Unite us in faith and witness, O God, that as we minister to different peoples and in different ways, that we may with one voice proclaim you, Jesus, as Lord and as Savior. Prosper those who are doing faithful ministry and help us to seek the ways where we can partner together for your kingdom. We pray, O God, for this church which you have called Hebron. Show us how to better open our hearts and open our doors in gospel welcome. And surprise us, O God, with those whom you are gathering in. Holy Advocate, you alone can bring healing and comfort in this broken world. Bless all those who suffer this day in body, mind, or spirit. And especially we remember those in this season who are alone or lonely, those who will travel to be with family, and all who may celebrate this week. And we lift to you also the cares of our hearts in this moment of silence. O holy and triune God, we lift before you these our prayers, trusting in your mercy and grace. For we pray in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Walk in love as Christ loved us, and gave himself up as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Let us offer our life and labors to the Lord.
Good morning. Before the ushers come forward to take the offering, during the anthem this morning, toward the end, there's congregation participation, all right? So I hope you'll join us. There are two verses of a We Gather Together, a great Thanksgiving hymn.
Thank you.
O gracious Lord, giver of all good gifts, in this season of thanksgiving, we turn to you with gratitude and praise. We give these gifts as a token of our appreciation and of our devotion to you. Bless them and use them, O God. Help us to be good stewards of the same, so that we may proclaim your gospel and embody your kingdom in the world. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I invite you to take up your hymnal and turn to hymn 301. We will be splitting the sanctuary for our singing this morning. As you may see in your bulletin, there is this half, which is the piano side, and this half, which is the courtyard side. So as I indicate, piano side will sing verse 2, and courtyard side will sing verse 4. So let us praise God.
Let us build a house where love can dwell.
Jesus has broken down the dividing walls and has opened the way through his reconciling love. So how can we afford not to welcome? So let us go from this place, embodying Christ's reconciling love with open hearts and open doors to all whom Christ is calling. And as you go, go with the blessing of Almighty God, which I lay upon you in his name. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift up his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. This day, always, forever. Amen. Amen.